Heavenly Father, as we sing your praise, as we learn about your love for us, as we engage with your word today, which is precious, help us open our hearts and minds to be humble enough to learn, to be challenged, to be encouraged by what it might speak into the life of this church and into our lives each day. And I pray this in the name of the one who is precious, Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last couple of months, certainly in the UK, the buzzword has been the word Brexit. In my travels around the UK recently and talking to some of my family who live in the UK, certainly there is a lot of worry about what the Leave vote will mean for them. And if there was a similar vote in Ireland, I'm pretty confident that Ireland would overwhelmingly vote Remain. Pretty confident in that. I suppose as we look back since we joined what was then the EEC or the EC, whatever it was, back in the early 70s, as we look back, I guess Europe has been good for Ireland. The general standards in our country have risen. The roads system in our country is certainly better. The living standards that we have are certainly better. The economy, the opportunities to travel have certainly opened up in the last 40 or so years. And there are lots of smaller things that are now commonplace in Ireland that were never heard of, certainly when I was growing up. TV, for example. When I was growing up, there might have been 3 or 4 channels. If you were lucky, you got 6 channels. You got the English and the Irish channels. Food, for example, the staple of the Irish diet, bread, potatoes, veg. Is that overstating things? Whereas now you can have French croissants for breakfast. You can have Italian pizza for lunch. If your fancy takes you, you can have bratwurst, German sausages for dinner. And then you could have a nibble on some Swiss chocolate in the evening. More food, more European food. And then we come to coffee. Oh, how I love my cup of coffee. Not long ago, you were lucky if you had a choice between Nescafe and Maxwell House. Mellowbirds. Does anyone remember that brand of coffee? Now the choice is endless. Oh, how I love my coffee. You can have espresso, you can have Americano, you can have a latte, you can have a mocha, and all sorts of different types of coffee. And then there is the ultimate. There is the hugging and the kissing. How sophisticated we've become in Ireland. Although I'm not sure we Irish are entirely comfortable with the European style of greeting. Not so long ago in Ireland, a firm handshake was all that was required. I think there's something about tradition should be maintained when it comes to that. Whereas nowadays, you're not sure whether it's a firm handshake. You're not sure whether to give a peck on one cheek, or do you give a peck on 2 cheeks? Do you give a kind of half cuddle? It's kind of more complicated greeting in a European style. Well, as we come to today's one another passage, we will find that this last category of greeting is apparently, certainly on the surface, is a biblical principle to be practiced among church members. As Paul writes, greet one another with a holy kiss. And just in case we think this principle is plucked out of nowhere, after the principle to love one another, this principle to greet one another with a holy kiss is in fact the second most mentioned principle. It's written by 2 different apostles in their letters. It's written in 5 different letters. It encompasses dozens of congregations in several different countries. So this principle to greet one another with a holy kiss must be important. Now, before we tease it out a little bit, as always, can I encourage you to turn to the text in the weekly sheet? It's great to see folk with the sheet in front of them, or indeed from the pew Bibles. As we've already picked up, Paul is the author of the letter in this case. He is writing to believers in Corinth, which is a seaport in Greece. And throughout the letter, he is dealing with all sorts of things, as he does in each of his epistles. And then our passage comes right at the very end. It's in the final greeting section where Paul is wrapping the letter up. It would be easy to miss what we are looking at today, as Paul in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 20 writes our words, "Greet one another with a holy kiss." So the question we quite naturally want to ask is, what is a holy kiss? What is the real intent of this command? And how do we faithfully implement it and fulfill it in the church today? Well, our attention, I'm sure, is immediately drawn to what word? It's immediately drawn to the word kiss. Immediately drawn to the word kiss. But just to ease us a bit and relax us a bit, actually, the grammar of the text doesn't actually put the emphasis on the word kiss. If we go back to the original language, the main thrust of the command is the word greet. This is the greeting verse. It's not the kissing verse. I don't know whether you're relieved or whether you are disappointed at this stage. So when Paul writes these words, the important word is the word greet. And in terms of what we're going to learn and apply, this is the key teaching. Paul gives a general call for all Christians, for all churches where believers meet together, that they are to greet one another. And again, if we had lots more time than we have on a Sunday morning, we would find that the passage fleshes this out in three different ways as we greet one another. Quickly, let me point us to the three before we apply the passage. The first thing to note in the passage is the power of names. As we read the passage, did you notice how Paul mentions some individual names? There is no generic greeting. Paul doesn't give one of those "say hi to everyone for me" kind of greetings that many of us may give when we communicate or when we talk to someone. "Say hi to everyone for me." Rather, Paul's greetings are personal and tender. Why? Because names matter. So the power of names is the first thing that we pick up. The second is the power of hello. Equally, you can imagine how the people mentioned must have felt when the letter was read. These letters were written to be read in public and written to that particular community. Can you imagine how each of the folk must have felt? Priscilla and Aquila, and if we read it in Romans, the similar passage, there is a whole list of names that Paul writes to the Roman church. Can you imagine how they must have felt? "Paul remembered me. Paul thought that I was important enough." Why? Because people matter. Names matter. And then finally, there is the power of touch. In this instance, culturally, it was with that kiss. But for me, it simply represents the personal contact that we have with somebody in a culturally relevant way in our situation. So as we think about this passage, let's take time to apply what we have learnt into our church life, into our church community, in this church, and across this group of parishes. One of the things I love to see on a Sunday morning is when people come into church, is people saying hello to each other, acknowledging each other. We don't just come in and put our heads down and pretend that there's nobody else here. For me, that's a good sign. It's a good sign when people engage with each other. The challenge, though, is to extend that to all. Do we just greet those that we know? Or do we greet those that perhaps from time to time are new? Who are visiting our church? Are we a welcoming church? Whether we are existing or whether folk come and join us for the day. Vida and I and the family went to a church on our holidays. I won't say where, but it was definitely either in Scotland, England or Wales. So that narrows it down a bit. But when we visited the church, here is the experience that we got from this church. Nobody talked to us. When we went in, there were folk who were giving the book and the weekly sheet. Fair enough. They said hello. The rector walked past us. A number of times I was sitting on the outside of one of the church seats. He certainly didn't acknowledge us. When he welcomed people, he did say welcome to those who might be here for the first time. But there was no welcome, certainly, for those who may be visiting. They had coffee and lunch afterwards. Nobody came up and invited us. And as I left that church, I kind of felt a little bit sad that nobody had acknowledged in one sense that we were there. Now, I know you could argue and say you were there to worship God, which we were as part of our discipline. But it kind of made me feel sad. This was a lively church. There was lots going on, but nobody took the time to welcome us. They saw us park the camper van in the church car park, so it's not as if we were kind of anonymous. But you get the example that I'm giving. Church should be a welcoming place, a place where all are greeted, a place where all are valued. Whether someone is here for the day, whether someone is a newcomer, a part of this parish for a lifetime, being a welcoming church, a greeting church is important. And in rural parishes, I would argue this is one of our great qualities that we still have, that we still have a sense of community. Do we welcome people? The second gathers on from that. Do we know each other's names? Now that might sound like a strange question in a small congregation, in a small group of parishes. But as I found from time to time, it's not always a given that everybody knows each other. That's why I try to encourage across the year, especially across the four churches, to have all for one services. So that we don't just exist in our own four churches, but we feel part of something bigger. That we know people across this group of parishes. It's why from time to time I try to have social occasions during the week, or things like a parish barbecue or parish lunches when the weather doesn't get the better of us, so that people new and existing can not only meet each other, but they can get to know each other, that they can get to know each other's names and to build a community. Knowing someone's name makes such a difference to our relationship. It makes it more personal. It means a lot. When we make an effort to ask, to share, to introduce, and get to know someone's name, it places a value on someone. When we genuinely feel part of things, when people know our names, again, it builds a deeper community. Do we know everybody's name? And are we prepared to reach out and make that effort? And the last thing, just in terms of today, when we come to church, do we engage with anyone? Or does anyone, more importantly, engage with us? Again, one of the signs that I love to see is people chatting before the service. I love to see people chatting after the service. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of interest in what's going on in our lives. I mean, church is about worship, absolutely. But it's also a chance to catch up. It's also important that all of us notice those who are on their own. Those who perhaps feel maybe not so confident to engage. For some, this may be the only meaningful contact that they have during a given week. So how important it is that we talk and reach out and engage. I've even heard of churches that practice the 2-minute rule. For the first 2 minutes after church, you talk to people that you don't know. You talk to someone different rather than somebody that we're comfortable talking to. There are lots more applications of this text. I'm sure you can think of more. But for me, the treasure of this chapter and this verse is that it shows us the power of personal relationships. It shows us the power of community. It shows us the power of knowing one another, the power of sharing lives in a real and authentic way. And this all begins with the way that we greet and welcome and receive one another. Ultimately, this verse for me is a testimony to what we believe about how God welcomes, how God receives, how God relates to each one of us in our personal journey of faith. A tender and affectionate greeting says, "I welcome you and I receive you just as God does." Our church should be a place where we receive God's love and his grace. As we welcome and greet each other, what we are saying is that we are part of family, that this is a place where you belong, a place where you are important, a place where you are valued. So as we think about Paul's words, as we second his command to greet one another with a holy kiss, we concentrate on the word greet. What does it mean for us in this church and in this group of parishes as we seek to live out and to build God's family, God's community in this place? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you that we can gather in this place and in a deep and personal way know your love for each one of us. That you greet us, that you welcome us, that we can be in your presence. And as we think about that, we think about how that affects our relationships. As we greet one another, as we engage with one another, as we seek to journey in faith in this part of your body, help us to love one another, to welcome all. Help us to get to know each other in a deeper way, whether we are new, whether we are existing, or whether folk visit here once in a while. Help us to greet and to receive in Jesus' name. Amen.